How far can pretty privilege get you?
TikTok star Charlie D'Amelio.
Charlie D'Amelio.
Charlie D'Amelio.
Charlie D'Amelio.
140? Wait, she has 150 million subscribers? Jesus. 154 million followers? That's insane. Wow. 27K views.
I was like, that's it, I'm famous. Don't talk to me.
Hey guys, it's Charlie, and I'm super excited to be sharing with you my first ever YouTube video on my YouTube channel.
Man.
If there was one person who saved the universe in their past life, it must be Charlie D'Amelio, because she was dealt with everything anyone could ever ask to be successful. A virally beautiful face and body, every opportunity in Hollywood, commercial.
Okay, boomer.
A good
top
one.
Talent agency in the industry, a book deal, a reality TV show, a TV show,
Jesus.
A clothing line, a makeup line,
holy
a record
fuck.
Deal. But somehow, there is still a way to mess everything up.
Just really need to admit this to you guys. I actually do have nipples. And I mean, that's really like, that's
what?
All I can say about this right now.
So how did the D'Amelio screw up more than $32 million worth of pretty privilege? That's exactly the mystery we are going to uncover
what
today. But not only that, as your marketing bestie, who graduated top 1% UCLA Business Economics with a background in marketing, we are going to explore how pretty privilege can still fail you if you have a terrible brand. And how...
Well, if you're boring, I think that's the reason why it happens, right? It's like, there's a lot of girls. Here's the thing. Is like, you can go to Twitch and you can see this. You scroll down and you see plenty of girls with 100 viewers that are hot. It's not like if you're a hot girl, you're going to instantly have a million viewers.
You, yes you, no matter if you have pretty privilege or not, can build a successful brand to help you down your career. And by brand, I don't just mean slapping your name or face on a t-shirt. Branding is about how your future college, future boss, future boyfriend sees you. And I'm creating this series to analyze celebrities from a marketing perspective, because many of whom do not recognize the power of influence they have over a generation of young girls.
She caught drunk? Yeah, of course. Well, who knows if that's her actually being drunk, though. It's hard to say.
I really don't want to work anymore.
And I think it's so important to be aware and reflective.
The problem is people like that. I feel like with a lot of people that get popular on TikTok, etc., especially for being attractive, let's be real, right? Like what happens is you get older and then people aren't as attracted to you anymore. That's what happens. And so like if you were popular for being hot and then people don't think you're hot anymore, then you're not going to be popular. Right. And you get over. Yeah. And then people move on. Right. And I think that that's the way it is with a lot of personalities.
Of the people who are shaping our culture. And despite how terribly the D'Amelio franchise flopped, we will also talk about how they could come back from the lack of brand and the hate they always cry about.
I'm upset because I haven't been in any drama.
First, we need to understand how the D'Amelios had
every single chance
to build a billion-dollar empire. Charlie D'Amelio, for those who have never heard of a small app called TikTok,
no drama,
is a Connecticut high schooler who is not a nepo baby, an Instagram heiress, or a self-made artist. She started creating dance videos on TikTok in 2019 that quickly broke the platform and the Guinness World Record as the first person with 50 million followers on TikTok.
See, like, I never even go on TikTok. I don't even know who these people are. It sounds crazy. Yeah, I have no idea.
2020, then 100 million in November 2020. The entire internet and Charlie herself was dumbfounded by
the
success.
That's nuts.
Because while Charlie was a dancer, many have claimed her dances to be mediocre. Surely it can't be that people are shallow and that the TikTok algorithm prefers a pretty face, right? Not possible at
all. Yeah, that's the obvious reason. Like it's just, yeah, I mean, I it's so weird that people don't understand this. It's crazy.
Of course, Renegade became the Charli D'Amelio dance because she did it so much better than the original choreographer. And of course, the reason Dixie D'Amelio, Charli's sister, began blowing up too was that her natural talents blew the platform away. All in all, some people are born on the right side of the beauty algorithm and beauty standard, and they should embrace it. But as the sisters are dealing with this life-changing fame, which in this day means power, which means money, their parents and new team saw a pot of gold.
There's also a huge problem that a lot of people have is that when a person gets popular for being relatable and likable, like I think that it seems like she did, and like being pretty, and then you get very popular, and then that changes your like demeanor, it changes how you act, it changes like the you know, like you're talking about money all the time, etc. Now you're no longer relatable. Like if you're on like TV shows and stuff like this, people that watch you that are like high schoolers can't relate to you anymore whenever you go on Jimmy Fallon and you talk about how many million dollars you have, right? Yeah, fame, ruined person, popularity. Exactly, right? And there's plenty of people that that doesn't happen with, right? Like, it's not like every person who is, like, successful, like Keanu Reeves, for example, like, that didn't happen with him because that's not the perspective. It's not the fact that you have the money. It's how you act with the money. That's really what the difference.
How exciting. There is so much possibility when the hype is only rising for the girls. They were seen as the model citizens of TikTok and basically had the attention of every teenage girl in the nation. There was so much potential here for them to grow into the icons and role models for the next generation of young girls. But no, the D'Amelio parents said, heck, we are the new Kardashians. And if you're the Kardashians, then being hot is all you need to build a successful business, right?
I'm gonna be honest. I always thought Kim Kardashian was really fucking hot. I do. I think that, like, again, like, she is insane. And especially, maybe you might want to say not now. Okay, fine. But, like, whenever she first got really well known, insanely fucking hot. I don't even think you can compare. That's my opinion. Plastic surgery? Hey, they did a good job.
And so what happened next was a big, impressive list of business ventures. But if you take a closer look, you'll start to realize that each is very mid, and that the team behind them is not just uncreative, but literally throwing random shit at the wall and hoping that one will stick.
Wow.
So what this is it's a look at your 2021. This is the major things we're focusing on. So we have all partnerships. We have, you know, the different companies you're working with, like, you know, ring lights and starting a clothing company. So, and then you have books and TV shows.
Well, this is so big.
Yeah, it's like, why would you even film this? Like, this isn't something like it breaks the immersion that people have with, like, the character. Because, like, now she's not, like, this goofy girl that's just doing videos in her, like, her bedroom. Like, now she's, like, a global brand that's, like, being pushed around, and it completely destroys the authenticity. And especially young people are looking for that type of authenticity. Yeah, it's Corpa. Exactly, right? It's a bad move. I don't know why you would think that's a good idea.
We need to first look at physical products. And then their digital appearances that led to the ultimate downfalls. From 2020 to 2023 alone, they had their makeup line with Morphe, not exactly a hit, then a collaboration drink with Dunkin' Donuts, a fragrance line, a nail polish collection, a mattress, a footwear brand, a skincare brand, a popcorn brand.
Bro, I remember, so, like, this was a crazy thing, is that, like, this was during, I don't remember exactly when this was, but it was during New World. I remember I was playing New World in a call about this, and I was going to work with these people and make a type of food. It was like a beef jerky thing. And then I remember thinking halfway through this phone call, I have like 50 other fucking things. I'm not a chef. I don't know fucking anything about beef. I don't know how to make beef. What am I doing?
What about, I take a step back. What the fuck am I doing with my life? And I was like, yeah, you know what? It's not worth it. Yeah, it's, I'm not doing this. And I think that you see it obviously with the Lunchly stuff. I mean, you know, we did do Starforge, right? And so, like, it's not that doing something like this is bad, but whenever you have all of these products and there's not like some sort of like interesting like gimmick to them, and they're not funny or like good, then what's the point? Starforge makes sense. Exactly. Yeah. I feel like these people are just trying to make money. They're trying to just like put their brand on whatever they can to get their fans to buy it. And I think also, like, if you look at the popularity, it's completely contextualized inside of COVID. Oh, wow. Big surprise. During COVID, there's a lot of people that are there. They're like buying the shit like crazy. Because, you like, think about how many people were really popular during COVID, like, especially, like, the Among Us era. Because it made a bunch of, like, really popular people. Like, I don't like listing names because then it's like I'm making a list of all the people that fell off. So I don't think I need to, though, right? Like, we all know who they are. There's tons of people who used to be super popular. Everybody knew them. And now they're just, like, nobody. Nobody cares about them. And that's what happened with a lot of people.
I don't know which creative genius idea it was to tell the D'Amelios to dress up as Walmart employees in order to promote this relatable, fun brand. And all they did was to mock the working class where labor was only a fun activity for them. And being so incredibly talented while launching back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back businesses, Charli D'Amelio, of course, had the time to write a book in 2020 called Essentially Charli, The Ultimate Guide to Keeping It Real, which became...
Oh my God.
This is so ridiculous. That's crazy. The audacity, it's amazing. What is this? It's targeted for 10-year-old girls? I know it's not targeted for me, okay?
Became a New York Times bestseller.
Wow.
If there was an award for launching the most number of unmemorable businesses, the D'Amelios probably would have won.
I think that I think it's not just that. It's that COVID caused a lot of young people and a lot of people who were naive to get invested onto the internet. And because of people's heightened level of like attention to the internet. So this is a phenomenon that's very weird. It's that during recessions, people actually spend more on entertainment and other types of distractions. So what ended up happening is like COVID effectively functioned as a recession. And what it did is it caused people to be inside all the time. And if you're inside all the time, you're constantly on the internet. Well, you're going to have a higher probability of getting parasocial with some person on TikTok, right? And that's the reason why it happens. I think that's why these people blew up so much on TikTok. And now, like, after that kind of moved on, then everybody else did too. And also, I think that COVID brought, like, it's basically like there were different, like, measures of magnitude that brought a lot of people onto the internet. And like in 2010, it was a lot of people. In 2006, it was a lot of people. I would say 2016, it was a lot of people. And I think that in COVID, like now, basically the entire culture is online because of COVID. And a lot of these people are being exposed for the first time to a lot of this like influencer stuff and branding stuff. And them being naive to it, I think that they bought into it and played into it a lot. And that's why, and if I talk about this from like an industry level, the amount of money that you can make nowadays from sponsorships is substantially lower than what you could make in 2021. And I'm talking about like, you know, view for view, dollar for dollar, right? I'm not saying like, oh, views are lower, so money's lower. Yeah, obviously. I'm saying even, you know, adjusted for that inflation, it's still lower. It's because you don't have people that are activating on ads like this. Because there's like a diminishing return on it. There's a cooldown on it. And it's like you have this happen. Like you can't, not everybody can sell something to every person. There's only so much attention and so much money to go around.
That's my laundry being finished. If I didn't tell you, you probably don't even know half of these brands existed.
Yeah.
And some of them...
No idea.
Deceased. Because honestly, by the speed that these products were launched immediately following the blow up, there is just no way that they were developed with care and passion from Charlie and Dixie. These brands have no connection with them. Like, why shoes? Why popcorn?
Who the fuck? Like, who thought it was a good idea to make Be Happy snacks, oh my god. Cotton candy popcorn? Who the fuck would eat that? Jesus. Yeah, same shit with different print-on-demand products. Yeah, basically, right? I think this is the same as, like, the Lunchly thing, right? It pretty much is, where you've got people that are basically putting out the same product for a higher price to get people to pay for it, and hopefully the marketing of their brand is going to push the product enough to where they're able to compete in the market. But the problem is that, like, this does work to, like, a limited extent. But whenever you're actually selling a product that people want to use and they're buying it for a function rather than to support a creator, like, this is why, for example, almost any creator can sell merchandise and it will do well. But when you're selling a product, people want a product to fulfill a function. So, like, for example, if you sell a computer, people want the computer to work. So it doesn't really matter about, like, their relationship with the player, or not the player, sorry, the content creator, they still need the computer to work, right? They still need this to happen. So I think popcorn and other types of food is the same way. If you're buying this, this isn't a way to support them. You're buying this for a purpose. And if it doesn't fulfill that purpose, then you're just going to go to a competitor. That's why. What about Pokimane selling those cookies at a huge price increase, saying bye, broke boy? Here's what I'm saying. Is that how do we know how well those cookies are doing? How many people are buying those cookies? I haven't seen the balance sheet for that. Until I see the balance sheet, I would assume that they're probably not doing very well. That's my honest opinion. I bet they're probably not doing very well. It seems like something that's not really going to happen. Try them? I did try them.
Why popcorn? Why mattress? It's just slapping the D'Amelio label on a bunch of consumer goods that are very mid themselves.
D'Amelio footwear is recommended by doctors to treat broken ankles.
You can't say that.
I don't care if you like the Kardashians or Hailey Bieber. Yes, they also launched and flopped brands, but
of course,
the brands that we will remember and rave about are the brands that they care about and rave about themselves. Kim Kardashian is known for her iconic body. So what does she launch?
Yeah, obviously.
Skims, a shapewear company that has quality products that could sell even on their own. Kylie Jenner, known for her lips. So Mama Chris got her to launch Kylie Cosmetics. Hailey
Big
Bieber,
surprise.
The woman is constantly showing her glowy skin. And each launch is super creative and tied to her personally. Emma Chamberlain, vlogged with coffee for 4 years. It just makes so much sense to have a coffee company, and she has killer creatives.
Alex, I think that this is also what happened back then, is that a lot of people saw how much money they could make by selling products as content creators, and then they just tried to do as much as they possibly could. It was like basically a gold rush. Like, how can we figure out a way that we can monetize the most people in the most ways? Scam City? Well, like, it's not even really a scam. Like, in a lot of cases, these aren't scams. It's just a product that's overpriced. Like, a scam is whenever you buy a banana and you get a tomato. This is you buy a banana, but it's $7.
Earl's merch. Very on brand with her personality. The fact that you don't even know the name of the quote-unquote brands launched by D'Amelio's shows you how disconnected they are from these brands. And it is so funny to read Charlie D'Amelio's brand inspiration for the shoes as, quote, "We are always in heels, we are walking carpets, we've done all the uncomfortable blister-filled shoes before." So it's been really nice to be able to look into our closets and see, what are we missing and what do we have that we can make better. Clearly, extremely relatable to their teenage girl fan base,
right,
walk in heels and go to carpets all day. And clearly, the dream shoes for the teenage boys who follow them because of their hotness.
I love you so much. We love you so much.
Charlie, let's go.
I love you, Charlie, you're the goat.
It's crazy how they're...
Fuck it. That's the thing, right? That's it. It's a bunch of teenagers, right? And like high school kids. And the thing is that this is just the reality, right? Is that people that are really popular with high school kids, this is something that doesn't last because people, I mean, unless you're really stupid, don't stay in high school for more than 4 years. So, and that's assuming that they find you when they're a freshman. So what ends up happening is that also, who do high schoolers like watching? People that are around the age of other high schoolers. Like, you guys remember this whenever, you know, we were kids. Like, you would want to watch and relate to somebody that's around your age. So now that this woman is like, you know, I don't know how old she is now, but she's a good degree older, and it's very obvious that she's not in high school anymore. Very obvious. Now it's harder for that demographic to relate to her. That's the issue. She's 20 now? Yeah. If you're 20, you're not in high school. 20 is too old? No, I'm serious. Think about it.
Entire marketing team never gave a single thought to who the targeted demographic is, because it is not women in their 20s and 30s with actual purchasing power who will want to wear these
like
hot
super
pink
senior
or electric blue pumps.
Super senior.
Which is probably a hard concept for the DeMelo sisters to grasp.
Yeah, somebody says difference between 16 and 20 is huge. It's massive. Like it's gigantic. Like I'm surprised anybody is thinking that it's not. It's tremendous. Absolutely.
They never had to work a single day since they had enough money to do whatever they want since 17. And at this point, it is apparent that the main issue is the D'Amelios don't know why people follow them. And frankly, it is hard.
I don't either. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I have no idea. I mean, maybe it's like guys follow them because they're cute. Okay. Yeah, sure. But like, all right, now what?
To answer that question.
Yeah.
As many still only know Charlie D'Amelio as the famous TikToker who dances and not much more. Surely, digital appearances should help.
Right.
Right?
Two out of eight.
Although it seems like the D'Amelio family has done so much since Charlie became famous on TikTok, everything they worked on somehow only made them less and less relevant.
Jesus. 31,000 views. Wow. That's bad. Holy fuck.
And less likable.
She's so out of touch, it's crazy. What does it say? Can we just cancel her already? Oh my god. This is what I was saying before, is like, it's somebody like Paris Hilton or Donald Trump. Like, they're famous for being a rich asshole, basically, right? But like, this girl was trying to be relatable. And you can't do that and be super rich. That's not how it works.
Don't get me wrong, I respect the hustle of the family, where they really tried to emulate the Kardashian grind and did everything possible to stay relevant. But they did not understand the full price of monetizing your family and what it truly takes for a family to become a money printing machine like the Kardashian clan. Either their team is very lazy or has no creativity. Since blowing up, the D'Amelio...
I think it's no creativity, in my opinion. You're selling a fucking mattress. There's only one man who can sell a mattress. That's Shaq. Other than that, I'm not interested.
He's launched a podcast because every other influencer under the sun called Two Chicks Podcast. They made a total of 27 episodes before asking the question, is this what the girls actually want to do?
Jesus Christ, 4K views, 2.4K views. Yeah. I really think it's crazy that a girl that got famous for being pretty and dancing thought that people wanted to listen to her talk. In all of your videos, it's music talking, not you. What were you thinking? I really just know your role.
And do they have anything to talk about? Dixie began doing music, and so did Charlie. They had their family YouTube channel, which had a lot of backlash since-
They want to have a backstory. They want to have a backstory so bad. Oh God.
First episode, where the girls were seen as extremely rude, and in spite of a private chef made meal, Dixie threw it up in front of everyone, and Charlie said it's better to get dino nuggets.
Sometimes happens when- Oh God.
So dramatic.
Do we have any dino nuggets?
Ew. At this point, the D'Amelio brand-
It's just obnoxious. It's obnoxious and annoying. Like, who likes that? Like, who likes a person like that? Like, and she didn't even throw up. Like, I can tell because you'd move your back like this, right? If you're going to throw up. She didn't even throw up. Probably just spit it out.
Was already out of touch with their audiences, who likely don't live in a large mansion with private chefs. But that's okay. They don't have to build a relatable brand if they want to be more aspirational like Taylor Swift or Billie Eilish. They could keep their mystique and stop doing the mediocre family content. But no, the team behind the D'Amelios wanted them to be the Kardashians and put them on a reality TV show, even
at- A reality TV show? Oh my fucking God. See, like, I love watching videos like this because, like, I am inside of the male space of Space Marine 2, Elden Ring, and, like, we just got done watching a clip from Conan the Barbarian. And so, like, this is, like, a whole other universe to me. And it's astonishing for me to see how big it is. It's like a fucking parallel universe that I just never see.
After the YouTube family channel
it's
backlash.
Nuts.
While they lack the very essential elements of the Kardashians to be interesting.
Oh my God, I'm gonna cry, my diamond ear.
Sex tapes, celebrity scandals, divorces, pregnancies. The D'Amelios are just...
I mean, I really don't think that you guys really think I'm wrong about that shit? Y'all really thought I was wrong. Yes. I don't think I was wrong. I don't.
Pregnancies, the D'Amelios are just too normal and unproblematic compared to other celebrities.
They're boring. That's the reason. Most people, and this is why a lot of Among Us people fell off, is because they're boring. This is why streamers fall off too, is because they're boring. Like, they don't have any interests, they don't have anything they like talking about, they don't have a personality, their personality is their stream. Like, I'm telling you, like, I'm gonna just fucking say it. So, like, if I'm hanging out with streamers, every single time I'm talking to them about their stream. If I hang out with guys that do YouTube, we can have a range of conversations about things that don't have to do with their immediate analytics. Like, it's actually crazy. Like, I could just chill and we can have conversations about, like, random shit. It's not a big deal. But I think that also, like, this brand of influencer content creator, the super unproblematic, always says the right thing, never has the wrong opinion or the bad take, that brand is, like, massively falling off. Because people have already, like, it's just boring now. It's extremely boring. And so, like, and you see a lot of these content creators that came out of this era. These people are like a single digit percentage the size and popularity that they used to be. It's because it's boring now. And I think people have realized it. It has an expiration date. It does. Like, I've seen it happen a lot because I've made content for years and I've seen plenty of people pop off like this and then boring and disingenuous. Exactly. Yeah. People want authenticity. I don't even think that people want entirely authenticity. I think people want entertainment. And in order for people to be entertained in a general degree, they want to think that it's authentic. Like Drewski, for example, does skits constantly. Well, those aren't authentic, but he's fucking funny. So it's about the entertainment.
the biggest drama.
Even talking about them is boring.
Charlie and Dixie hating each other.
No, I think it's so cute that you riding on my coattails like really worked out for you.
No, I mean like that was your whole life. I mean 2 years compared to 18, it's like really different.
Yeah.
Which is so hard to watch because it's not authentic.
I was caught off guard and then expected to be like, oh my God, this is so perfect. You know what? Why don't you put this song on my album? We could do it together.
And probably did damage their relationship as a family.
What the hell just happened? Like, I thought you were the only person I could really trust in the world. That's not fair to me. So how are we supposed to live with each other anymore?
In addition, the fact...
So boring, bro. Like, it's just like, this is... It's just it's so boring. Like there's no like the reason why something like Jersey Shore was really good was because of crazy shit happening. Nobody wants to watch a reality show that's boring.
That almost every single episode was about the sisters facing hate from people on the internet due to their massive following and massive presence online is very jarring for the audience.
Well, it's not something that people can relate to. Like, as somebody, I've had to deal with my fair share of internet hate over the years. It can be very draining. It can be. But you're not going to tell somebody who works as a cashier that reading tweets makes you depressed. They're not going to understand that. Even though you are completely entitled to the way that you feel, and them having a different job than you does not invalidate your feelings, they're still not going to give a fuck.
Saying that the hate they're dealing with is not valid or
who
important
cares?
But to their viewers who don't understand a life of never
why would
needing
they care
to
about
work
that? Yeah.
Since 17, having the luxury of time to cry repeatedly in a mansion and complain is very off-putting.
It is
where there's a lack of awareness of privilege.
The it's biggest obnoxious yeah it's super obnoxious
challenge they have to face in life is the hate that come from having hundreds of millions of followers.
That's
who
horrible.
Many cannot even afford a roof over their heads and have to stress about
completely
where the next
meal unrelatable
is. The impression of Charlie and Dixie not being appreciative of the capital, money, and power they have is not only unrelatable but also unlikable. And if they're building brands,
I think it's the unlikability too. And I think also the more that you try to market yourself as like a brand rather than a person, I think that people resent that, even though I think it's healthier. Like, and this is the problem, is that a lot of people want parasocial relationships online, but they shouldn't get them.
Brands after brands that depend on their personal brand and people liking them, then if people don't like them, then of course the brands they release every few months flop. In addition,
well, to be fair, people say that about every popular person that's not like an artist or something. Like, they say that about Kim Kardashian, but she's still popular. Like, they say that about everybody. It's not really that
how
big of a deal.
Each product has no soul or passion. Since the very start, except for maybe Charlie and her dancing, there was not a soul or passion in every project that D'Amelio's touched on.
D'Amelio footwear is recommended by doctors to treat broken ankles.
Don't say that. You can't say that.
I'm not sure if Dixie D'Amelio even wanted to be a TikTok star or singer, while always being overshadowed by Charlie.
It's always your time to shine.
When the entire enterprise was born because of the lucky, or perhaps unlucky, pretty privilege without a soulful connection, it is doomed to fail as soon as the halo effect of a pretty face or body gets tiring and loses its shine.
Exactly. Like, I mean, again, it's just like, of course you're gonna have, like, you can't relate to, like, her audience was probably a bunch of people in high school. So whenever you're not in high school, it's going to be harder for you to relate to people that are in high school. What is that? No fucking shit. Fucking obviously, that's how it is.
I do think Charlie and Dixie are sweet girls and handle way too much pressure from their team and perhaps even their parents, who just want to milk the fuck out of their fame and youth. But like I said before, a brand cannot just be built in one day. And you can't just launch 20 things in 4 years hoping one will stick if you don't have an ounce of passion for any of them. So what does make sense for the D'Amelio brand, and how could they create something sustainable without further decreasing their likability?
I don't think they can, honestly. That's my opinion. I think that that type of popularity was a perfect storm of like COVID being young and relatable to like high school kids, and also the amount of like kind of naive people that were coming into the space, right? I see this happen with streamers all the time. Is like there are a lot of streamers that like have a pop off moment where like they get a lot of viewers, right? Whether it's a streamer that had 100 viewers that gets 1,000, or a streamer with 1,000 viewers that gets 5,000 for a day. Most people end up having an opportunity like that in one way or another. But it's not about whether you get an opportunity like that. It's about whether you can capitalize on that opportunity and take advantage of it.
First, they need to make a very conscious decision of whether they want to be influencers or celebrities, which are two very separate concepts. If they just want to play a role that is aspirational, then don't overexpose themselves by appearing on every show, network possible. Keep the mystique. And if they want to be influencers, they need to be way more self-aware and aware of what is normal outside of their multi-million bubble. Stop pretending that they are just a normal family only worth $32 million in a mansion, and be more
respectful. That's normal.
Towards the audience that they've been cashing out on, and stop contradicting themselves by stop pretending to be dramatic and problematic in their shows for the sake of views, and just stay true to who they are, and maybe they don't care.
The problem is that the Kardashians are crazy and they do stupid weird shit. If you're not doing stupid weird shit and being obnoxious and annoying and stupid, then why would anybody want to watch your reality TV show? That's boring. People don't want to watch reality. They want to watch hyper-reality. So unless you're doing that, then you're wasting your time.
About music, popcorn, mattress, and that is okay. Which brings up second. They need to stop launching brands. The next brand launch needs to be something so thoughtful and something they absolutely love. Because so much trust has already been lost.
I wish I was this happy on my 8-hour shift scanning groceries. I wish I was rich enough to work retail for fun. I wish I was rich. Yeah, it's a bunch of kids. Absolutely. Yeah, that's why. It's, again, she was relatable, but now she's rich, and so she's not relatable. It's pretty simple.
They need to let every milliounce of the next product to show that they poured their soul and their heart into it. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're not passionate about anything right now, which is also okay. Do some soul searching first, then develop the product that their audiences actually need. And to be honest, if they don't care about products,
don't
need to create one. There is already enough money to be made from working with existing brands that align with them. Third, not sure about Dixie, but Charlie's initial dream was related to dance, and her going on Dancing with the Stars was a great move. It just aligns so well with who she is at the core. Instead of starting drama, just to start drama with Dixie about pursuing singing. Many people initially follow Charlie because of the positive energy she brings. And maybe from dance, she could create a product that finally connects with her, that helps solve problems for her as a dancer, like gear that prevents dance injury that could eventually be pushed out to a broader athletic market. Or dance athlete.
I don't even know if that would be possible, because it's not like she's like a really well, like she's not like a great dancer, right? I mean, it's just another girl doing TikTok dances. That's it. Like, I like, really, that's the reason why these girls are popular isn't because they're good at dancing. It's because they're attractive. That's the reason. Like, I'm sorry, but like, there it is.
Sure, that's extremely durable, yet comfortable and cute during practice, that could eventually become its own
that's
clothing
super
line.
Well, instead that, of that's usually by being very attractive.
With that being said, although times have changed and the D'Amelio sisters are highly unlikely to regain that surreal level of mass attention again, all they need to do is to build a stronger connection with their existing massive following, instead of treating them like cash printing machines to feed soulless products to, and stop doing and saying problematic, offhanded things or complain about their privileges to be further disliked.
Yeah, nobody cares about like a content creator's problems. like, this is, I've said this before, right? And like, this is why I don't really talk about a lot of like issues and problems that I have. Like, of course, there's like issues and problems. Like, nobody gives a shit, right? Like, I remember Hassan had that thing happen. Like, everybody was really mad. And the problem is like, the problem is that I agree that the issues are real and they're legitimate and they should be taken seriously. But at the end of the day, if people aren't taking them seriously and they're getting mad about them, it's like an issue of like the customer's always right. If people don't like this and you keep giving it to them, it doesn't matter whether you're right or not if they're not buying the product, right? Whether that's streams, a reality TV show, or anything else.
I really don't want to work anymore.
Pretty Privilege can't get you far, but cannot last a lifetime.
Ultimately, no, it never does.
It still comes to good intentions, authenticity, and hard work to build a long-lasting brand, which I do believe the D'Amelio sisters are capable of and can have a rise to their careers again if they choose to use their influence for good impact. That's how to grow real influence instead
of... Smith says the customer isn't always right. That's such a dumb cliche. Stop it. Okay, well, you're entitled to your opinion. I think that if you ever make a product and you go to market with that product, I think that you're in for some very unfortunate reality checks. Yeah, you're in. Like, I again, you'll figure it out. It's okay.
A pretty follower account. Let me know your thoughts if you think the D'Amelio brand was a flop or not, and comment below which celebrity you'd like me to analyze next through a marketing perspective. This is your marketing bestie, Zoe Unlimited. Share this video for impact, and I will see you next week.
I think it's a pretty good video. Like, I'm gonna be real. I had no idea that like these girls were so popular. I'm gonna link y'all this video. I had no idea about this. Like, this is actually pretty good. The customer is a collective is always right. The customer as an individual is not. Yeah. Well, no, anybody who understands the concept, like, knows what I'm talking about. But, like, yeah, I think that obviously, you know, like, they were very popular because they were pretty girls that, you know, high school kids could relate to, right? Then you get older, you're super rich. Now you're, like, in a mansion. You're not in high school anymore. Those people can't relate to you anymore. And they've already grown up. Like, these are people now that they're like 21 and they were 17. Now they're 21. They're like watching you in a mansion crying while they're barely trying to like finish their degree working at Pizza Hut. Like, the relatability really isn't there. And the relatability is what made them popular. So there's plenty of people like Donald Trump isn't relatable in the same way, but he didn't get popular because of that. Right. And so I think the issue is that people don't understand, like, this is an issue with that a lot of streamers have too. They don't understand why people watch them. That's the biggest issue. The customer's always right in terms of taste. It's true for both the group and individual cases. If I don't want to argue, like, anybody who thinks that's not true is like, you can't reason a person out of a position they didn't reason themselves into, right? And so I have no business and no intention of trying to fucking prove somebody wrong. People think Trump is like their everyman. He's a real down-to-earth, relatable American. Not in the way that I'm talking about, right? TikTok PDFs had a big part in the popularity. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's always what happens, right? No one thinks that. No, some people do think that. No, it's true. He's right that some people do think that. My parents definitely pushing two young girls to be celebrities. It's sad how people don't realize how much people use Pretty Privilege. Yeah, being attractive is a huge buff. Like, it obviously is. Anybody that thinks it's not is crazy. Like, it's the same reason, like, and like, for a guy, it matters, but, like, for girls, it matters way more. Like, you can look at, like, the top, you know, 100 TikTok guys, and a lot of them are going to be attractive, right? But if you look at the top 100 TikTok girls, every single one of them is going to be attractive, because that's what sells, and that's what people want to see. That's just reality. It's the same thing as Twitch or on YouTube or anything like that. So, yeah, I mean, if you have it's unhealthy, though. I don't care. It doesn't matter whether it's healthy or not. This is just the way it is, right? Being pretty IRL is like +3 to charisma and luck. Yeah, something like that. That's why when actresses get a certain age, the only roles for them are witches. Jesus Christ. That one must have come from the YouTube comments. Oh boy. Okay, yeah, I got to I'll link you guys the video, give it a like. This was good. I've got to do my podcast today and I have to do some other stuff after that. So yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get ready and do all that, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. All right, boys. Peace. See ya. Bloodborne is getting announced tomorrow for sure, 100%.